Look at the person next to you and say, man, something is happening right now. Something really, really, really good. It doesn't matter if you're sitting at home. Look at someone and say, declare the word of the Lord. Take dominion. Take dominion. Taking dominion doesn't mean that you force your will on someone else or over someone else. It means that you surrender who you are to the will that is all authority and is all power and is all good and is all God and is all love and is all and ever present with you. That's what surrender is. And it doesn't weaken you. It doesn't lessen you. It empowers you. It expands you. It expands your mind, your ability to be able to see, to hear, to understand the very purpose of who you are and why you're here and what's going on and what is next and even what about yesterday. And it's all complete. It's all clarified. It's all summed up in who Christ in you is. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not just your hope of seeing glory someday, but the hope of glory being revealed through you. So you bear witness to the nature of who God is. You stand on the foundation of God's purpose in creating you and loving you and empowering you for a reason that exceeds your imagination and your only human ability and expands your vision, your horizon, in such a way that you begin to realize that it is Christ in me and no longer me, as the scripture says. It's no longer just I that lives, but it's Christ that is living in you. And the life that you're now living in the body, in the flesh, you're not living by the flesh, but by the faith, the spirit, the love, the power, the will, and the purpose of the one and only true and living God, of the only Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer, and He's empowering you to know Him in ways you've never known Him before, which opens up your understanding to who you are and why you are and what you are when you are. And this is that day. Give the Lord praise. You can take your seats this morning. I'm thankful for all that God has done. I'm thankful for everything that God has brought us into, everything He's taken us through, and what He's brought us into again today. Jesus made a statement at one point in Revelations, actually about three different times, and He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. It's pretty amazing that anyone could be those things. And Jesus said, I am. And the reason, one of the great reasons that I see for hearing and understanding what He said is because it sums everything up under the authority, the power, the auspices, the dominion, the realm of God. It just sums everything up, and it gives you confidence if you will believe the word. And remember, Jesus said, if you love me, He said, keep my word, keep my commandments. Believe what I said is who I've created you to be. And you know who you are? Who are you? Who did He create you to be? You are the vision of God. You are the vision of God. That's who you are. Think about it. And the word tells us that without vision, we perish. So if vision was important, if it's important, anything right, anything good, anything important must be part of who God is. It must be part of His divinity, part of His nature. And vision is who you are. The word says, in the beginning, God said something. And this is where we're going today. Prophetically, we have to lay a foundation of what we understand, and then we have to stay on that course. The foundation, the entire nature of Christ, the Word of God, the importance about the Word, you know what it is? It's what Jesus said. He said, I don't change. There's no change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to talk about a few different things. We're going to talk about a triad of dimensions. And we're going to talk about two different dimensions. We're going to talk about where we are and what's going on, but it's just important to realize that it's important for you to know where you're going. It's important now, not that you necessarily know all the details, but to be consistent. The Word of God is consistent. It doesn't change. If you're going to do anything in your life that brings a real change in your life, whether it's physically or spiritually or mentally or financially, you have to stay on a particular course that leads you down that road so you arrive there, for lack of a better word. You get there. You get there from where you are. And Jesus said, I am the where you were, I am the where you are, and I am the where and who you are to be. And that's pretty incredible to me. Jesus is all those things. And he's very consistent. So if we say, as the Word says, put on Christ, if you've put on Christ, you need to look for something. And remember, the Word says, seek first the kingdom of God, right? First thing to do, seek the kingdom of God. Pretty simple scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God. And Jesus helped us out a lot here by allowing someone to ask a question. And this was the question, well, then where is it? Where is the kingdom? And then they said, they took a step further and they said, well, show us. Show us where it is. And Jesus said, all right. He said, well, let me tell you this. First of all, you're looking for it in the wrong place. He said, the kingdom of God can't be shown to you in the way you're asking me to show it to you, because that's not what it is. Okay? It's not what it is. And Jesus has always given us throughout the Word, when Jesus walked on the earth, and today by his Spirit, he still does the same thing. He's always given us analogies that helped us to connect, helped us to have a reference point. So we know the kingdom of God is different than what they were anticipating. They were waiting for a long time for Jesus to come and be the king, come and set up a kingdom in the temple and be the king and rule over them like the kings they had seen before. But the kings they saw before were mere facsimiles of a reference, mere facsimiles or ideas of what kingship should be, which is the king's rule stands and it is consistent. And if the king writes down a rule in the realm, that rule remains and no one can break it because it is what the rule is. So that is a view, that's a perspective of a kingdom. But then remember, God says these things, including the Old Testament laws, these were only shadows, but not the real thing, or shadows of the thing that was to come. So we live in a reality, we live in a world that's connected by two realities or two dimensions, heaven and earth. Pretty simple, right? And Jesus said the kingdom of God can't come in the way that you expect it. It's not going to come where you can see it, because they said, show it to us. All along, the people asking the question, not realizing, that's exactly what Jesus was doing. And you need to realize that's exactly what he was doing. What he was doing was what he told us to do. He said, seek first the kingdom. Show us. He said, it won't come that way. If anyone says it's over here, or it's over there, or it's on its way, he said, that's not true, so don't believe that. And a lot of times, most of the time, we get discouraged because we're waiting for something that has already arrived. And not in part. See, God is not in part. Jesus, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus is not going to change. And if he abides in you, if he dwells in you in a way that is really unexplainable and yet simplistic in terms of he's God and he fills everything. If Christ dwells in you, then you are, as the scriptures tell us, complete. The Greek word used is perfect. You are perfected in him. You are perfected in him. Now, trying to think about being perfected in you is like looking for the kingdom to come on a wagon or, you know, to drop down out of heaven. Even if it did, you wouldn't know it, because Jesus said, I can't show it to you that way. He said, the kingdom of God is not something that's coming in a way you can look at it and say, oh, there, the kingdom of God is coming. And the next thing he did, and this is really important and really powerful because it is our future, he said, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. And what is the kingdom of God? Who knows the scripture? What does the Word say the kingdom of God is? It's not food. It's not drink. What is it? Don't whisper it. Go ahead and say it. We're just in church. Come on, say it. Thank you, Rick. Righteousness, peace, and joy in what? In the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Advocate, the Comforter. And then Jesus said something else. So the kingdom of God is in you. So in reality, we are not a part, we are part of God's reality. You are part of God's reality, not a part. You are part of God's reality. And we know this to be true because Jesus said, he said, what I'm doing is what the Father has instructed me to do. And then you think, how did he instruct him? And then Jesus says something really powerful. He said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Now, the reason Jesus is saying this is because it makes it very clear. He says, whatever I reveal, the secret things, if I know them and only I know them, God is saying, if I'm the only one privy to the information, then it's mine. But the things that are revealed then belong to you. Because if you can see a thing, and we have this innate sense of curiosity to know the unknown, don't we? I mean, even if you drive by an accident that is terrible, you can't help but look. Accidents happen because people are looking at accidents. You wonder why? Where is the accident? Well, there's a pile up of cars because everyone is looking at the accident. Watch what you look at because you'll end up there. So if you look for things in the distance, you'll always be living in the distance. You'll never come up close, so you can be a part. We are not a part, we are part. We are not just a component, we are not just a part, we are part of the reality of God. You are part of the reality of God, because Jesus takes it further. He says, I in you, he says, I in the Father, and then he said, I in you, he said, I in you and you in me. So you and me, actually he says you and me first, you and me and I in you. And then he goes on further and he says, if you keep my word, if you believe my word and you keep it, my Father will love you. Now when God loves something, he has to dwell in it. Because the love of God goes deeper than mere affection. The love of God will take you into places and times that you would never want to go because he loves you, because he knows you don't see the fullness of who you are. And certain things like arrogance or pride or hatred or envy or strife or bitterness or doubt or fear keeps you blind and you don't know it because you're blind. What's that old adage? A nod is just as good to a blind man, because if you nod, a blind man doesn't know it, and you have to speak so he can hear you. It's something like that. I probably messed it all up, but anyway, you know where I'm coming from. And if you don't, forget it, we'll move on. But the importance here, the relevance to the scripture is that you realize the kingdom of God isn't somewhere. And what is the kingdom of God? It's not something, it's everything that is reality. It's everything that is true. And there are two dimensions, heaven and earth. We know that. And where is this heaven? And where is the earth? The earth we can identify pretty easily. We know we're right here. And then God says something else about the earth. He said, listen, the earth is important. And he said, here's how important the earth is. He said, within the earth, within the creation of earth and everything above you, he said, you can look up and you can see the wonder of God. You can see the glory of God. He said, the heavens declare, he being God, the heavens declare my glory. How do you not know reality? How do you not? I just heard a businessman just the other day said, they asked him if he believed in God, and he said, well, yeah, there's got to be something. He said, I mean, where did reality come from? And to me, that still blows my mind, that I am reality, or I've got this really crazy dream going on, and you're all a part of it. And even in the dream, there's a reality to the dream. I mean, I'm seeing it. I'm aware. There's an awareness, whether asleep or awake. Paul said one time, whether in the body or in the spirit, I'm not sure, but I saw something. Things that I couldn't explain. So Although the kingdom of God is not a coming thing in the sense that we think about it, the kingdom of God is an everything, and God gives it to us. In the Genesis of time, in the beginning, God said this to Adam and Eve. He said, I'm giving you every good thing. Same thing in the New Testament. I've given you all things. Same word. I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. But when you see God pruning the tree, when you see God removing the chaff from the wheat, we don't want to think for a moment that there's any chaff in our lives that needs to be removed. I mean, come on. You know, we don't like to think that there certainly couldn't be any arrogance or any pride in my life. And if so, then sometimes it comes off with a negative attitude. Well, then God do what you... No. No, the heart is not God just do whatever you want to do. The reality is God reveal through me who you are and what you're doing. Reveal through me who you are and what you're doing. So the kingdom of God lies within you. And what should you be looking for in you? What is the kingdom of God again, Rick? Help me out. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So you should look for that in yourself. Because where is the kingdom of God? In you. And what is it? Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Makes sense, right? I'm going to see the kingdom. Where? Right here. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes church deviates and walks away from the vision because what's important sometimes in gatherings is just how many we get, how much we take in, and how many came to the altar. And David got in trouble for counting. So I've always made sure that I was not a part of that system. God, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus did what he did and fulfilled it, there was nobody there, but he did the will of the Father. You don't need anyone to promote you when you know the will of God. God may prove you without any exterior expression that you're doing the right thing other than your spirit, knowing by the Holy Spirit that you're doing right. And then we try to figure out all these things. We try to figure out what the coming of the Lord is, when the coming of the Lord is there a coming of the Lord? There's all kinds of theories, and it's this, and it's that. And listen, Christ is within us, and that's the hope of glory. When a couple of guys are standing there watching Jesus go up, when he says, I will return, they look. The angels came and said, stop looking like this. Stop standing here gazing up. Go and do. So I've always taken that word, this is my commission, just to go and do. And when the Lord brings the unity of heaven and earth together and we see the appearance of the Son of God walking, living, breathing, moving in the earth, and we see him as he is, we will be like him. So that's always been my focus point, just to see Christ in me, to see Christ not just coming, but to see Christ ever present, making himself known, just like he said he was going to do. And how God brings that reality to pass, had he wanted us to know exactly how, when, where, and what, he would have told us. And we get all wrapped up and we get excited and angry about when we, it's way back, it's right back to the same old religion. When they're sitting there, show us the kingdom, show us when it's coming, what it's looking. I never want to be bound up in the idea of what, when, and where, just what, when, and where. Let me explain. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God said, okay? And then he said on the sixth day, let us. And when God says let us, it's an inference that God is inferring. He's implying, we are about to do something. And very interesting, God said, let us, which is the implication of the Trinity, the Creator. We see that throughout the Word. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. So God says, let us, heaven knows, here's an implication, he is about to do. He is about to do. So let us is a determination. It's a decision. A decision. A decision. Let us. A decision is about to come forth. Let us do what? Make man. And he stuck with it. God addresses heaven. Let us make you. Let us make you. This is a vision of God. It is the word of God. It is the will of God. And it came to pass and it's good. Let us make man. And then the next question would be, when? Right? Questions that rule our lives. What, when, and where? What, when, and where? God said, today. Today, sixth day. Let us, on the sixth day, God said, let us make mankind. Men and women, let us make them. And God made man. He created man, and out of man, God brought woman. Today, out of woman, God brings man. Amazing how God just continues to replicate, to reveal himself through his word. Life is the revelation of the word of God. First thing, a decision has to be made. We have to decide who we are and what we believe and what we're going to do. And one of those very, very important decisions has to be that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God and to tetelestai. The Greek word for it is finished. It is finished. And then mamlacha, which means kingdom. Now, kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Mamlacha, right now. The kingdom of God. And that word is so important because it implies two very, very important things. Dominion. Take dominion. Mamlacha. Take mamlacha. Take dominion. What is that? Kingdom. Take the kingdom. Receive the kingdom. Where? Here. Today. Right now. Same word Jesus commanded Adam and Eve to follow. Take dominion. Rule. By what? The word of God. Through what? The ruach of God. The breath of life, the Spirit of God. Jesus said it like this. He said, you need the Spirit. From the beginning, God breathed ruach, the Spirit of life, into man, and man became, dirt became, earth became a living soul. You came from dust. If you don't believe it, open up a coffin that's been, well, don't do that. Don't do that. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Just forget that. If you were to open up a grave, you would see a grave, you would see dust and some bones. God made us out of earth. And how important is our position? So first of all, we have to make a decision. Creation stays the same because creation was the desire and design and will of God. And guess what? I have a hap that says that too. God's way is perfect. And it'll always be perfect and it'll never change. And there's no reason for you to try and convince God that something in your life should be going a different way. But what we should do is make a decision. We make a determination. We declare, we decree, this is God. So the first thing in creation is God said, let us, implying he's about to do something. So what's happening? Made a decision. You have to make a decision. Jesus is Lord of your life, and he's leading you in the way you should go. And enjoy the trip. Enjoy the journey. He never said you're going to like it because he said the carnal mind is enmity against God. It does not enjoy what God does. It doesn't please man. It doesn't please the natural mind. The mind is not subject to the will of God by the will of man. But by the Spirit of God that dwells in you, it can be taken dominion over. Which isn't a difficult thing. It actually employs the authority in you. It causes you to rise up in power and experience the power of God over you, which shows you Christ is dwelling in you. And we should be excited about that. But a lot of times, instead of people getting excited that Christ is dwelling in me, which is a prophetic statement of power, we get upset because he's moving us out of the way, the things in our minds that are distracting us, arrogance, pride, hatred, strife, bitterness, envy, jealousy, bickering, gossiping. Oh, I just wanted to let you know we need to pray for so-and-so. You're a gossiper. You're trying to create problems. And the word says you're like a murderer. Unity is the key. And God said in the creation of time, he said, let us make man in unity. Let us create him after our divinity, after our nature. Let us make him. Decision. When? Today. Right here. On the sixth day. God made man. Why? Why? Those questions rule our lives. Right? Those questions rule our lives. What? Where? And why? What's going to happen to me? Where am I going to go? What's going on? You have to make that decision. It's the creative design of God. God shared his thoughts and he said, this is the way you do it. You make a decision. You know where and you know when. You know why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know why you're doing what you're doing. Your steps are ordered of God. No one else, no demon, no devil, no power on the planet can alter your course. Only your doubt can blind you to the course that God has set on you, but your faith illuminates the path so you can clearly see, and the only way that flashlight comes on is when you say, my steps are ordered of the Lord, and there isn't anything that can alter my steps except my ego, me trying to play God in my own life. Me saying, I need this, and I need that, and I want this, and I want that. You deciding that you need something or someone could be very devastating to your life instead of saying, God has given me all things. And when I seek the kingdom, everything that is for me will become a part of who I am, and it will carry the nature of God consistent. Consistent, no matter what you do that is going to maintain the success of life has to be done consistently. You can't part of the time speak well of people around you, and then part of the time, you know, when you're not encouraged, if you're not admonishing them, we don't speak. My mom used to say to me all the time, if you can't say something nice, keep your mouth shut. And if I didn't do it, she wouldn't. Because, and I learned a long time ago, one of the things that drove my heart and my mind, a testimony for me, to hearing the voice of God in the way that today I know I can hear the voice of God as I learn to control the words of my mouth. If it isn't encouraging, if it isn't directional, and I don't mean that word directional like you give decisions, if it isn't the direction of the word of the Lord, then I don't say it. Be still and know that he's God. He is Lord over all. He doesn't need our help to bring his world together. All he wants is your cooperation, your belief, your faith in his word, because you are part, not just a part, you are part of the reality of God. Think about that for a second. You are part of the reality of God. And one part of the reality of God is hateful or brings division. The most powerful group of people are people that learn to agree together. And I'm going to show you how to do that. And that is prophetic, not pathetic. The power of prophecy is finding the unity with what God has already purposed, what he's already promised. It's called predestination, pre-planned, pre-purposed by God. In the beginning, in Genesis of time, God said, let's make man, us, in our image, really important words, and in our likeness, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the word says, and these three, triad, are one. The entire universe is created in a triad. It's a trinity, everything. When you break it down or you put it together, it's all a trinity. Past, present, future, depth, width, height, everything. All of creation is comprised of a trinity of things because the trinity created everything. And within the trinity, the Father, through whom we have access through Jesus Christ, and are empowered to receive his wisdom and his authority of his word through the Holy Spirit. They're all three one, but it's important that God said in the beginning, let us make them in this order, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So first act, a decision is made, and that decision is what? Let's make you. God made you. You're a decision. You are part of the reality of God. When? Today, on the sixth day. Today, when I'm talking, right now. And God did it. And what did he make? Man. Why did he make man? Then the word teaches us, it is written, it is declared, it is decreed that man has to live by faith. Man has to live by faith. The word also tells us there's something really important about being a creation. You can't see God with your eye. You have to see him with your spirit. Your spirit has to see God. Make it real short and simple. Your spirit has to believe the Holy Spirit, what he says, and you have to know that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. You have to know that the kingdom of God is right here, and it's on the inside of you, and it needs to be unveiled. The word says there's still a veil over the eyes of the people to this day about entering the rest. That rest is not just a Sabbath, seventh day rest. It is a rest in the fullness of who Christ in you is. And the word says to the present day, that veil is over the people's eyes just like it was in the day of Moses. Why? Because they relied on something happening that hasn't happened yet. They relied, just like they did with Jesus, on something coming that wasn't present yet. Jesus said, the word says, the fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form, and they rejected the King of glory. They rejected what they wanted to see. And today we can find ourselves doing the same thing. The body of Christ, church, should be comprised of the Word of God coming together in unity and seeing the revelation of who he is through the body. Why did he make man? That's a good question. Why? What, when, and why? Why did he make man? Because we are the clay of his vision. Because the Trinity is determined by God to only be seen as the Trinity is in vessels redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled by the Spirit, according to the will of the Father. Make it real short and real simple. The only way that the Trinity can be seen is through the vessels of faith and vision that God's created, and that's you and I. The Trinity has to be revealed. It's throughout the entire Word. The fullness of God revealed. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And how do we reveal who we are? This is before God creates heaven and earth. God, in his mind, is saying, let us make ourselves known. Let us be revealed. Well, how, you might say, the heavens are saying, the angels could say, we're looking right at you, but the fullness of your glory, the fullness of your Godhead, the fullness of the Trinity cannot be seen. No eye, and it states no eye, and it means and says angelic eyes. No angel, no human, no eye has seen, no angelic or natural ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared, those things that he wants to reveal. But he is revealing it to us and through us. So the host of heaven is looking at you, and the command of heaven is at your disposal. That's why the word says, whatever you release from the earth will take place from the heavens. It's going to happen on the inside of you. And the only way that it is going to be known, this revelation, this revealing of Christ, Christ in you, the coming of the Lord, the new heaven, the new earth, is where God put it in the beginning. He put it on the inside of you. He put it in earthen vessels of clay. He said, check it out, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. I am showing you what I am doing throughout the world. It looks like it just fell apart. It looks like it was distorted, but it happened in my hand. It took place in my hand. It took place under the authority of my will. That's who you are. So here's the decision. No matter what takes place in my life, Paul said it this way, in whatever state I find myself in, I make myself content. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Jesus, Peter comes to him and says to Jesus, when Jesus says, I'm going to the cross. Peter, it seems like in a kind heart, says, far be it from you, Lord. Don't let this happen. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Here's a real important perspective. Was Peter Satan? Well, Jesus said he was. He identified him as Satan. He called him Satan. What was he referring to? He said, you're not looking at the will of God. You're looking at the will of man. And the will of man is the same thing as the devil. Who was the devil? Was he created a devil? Who made him a devil? How did he become a devil? He did the same thing man does. He rejected the will of God. He elevated himself to try and be God. That's why Jesus said to the religious leaders, you're a bunch of devils. You're a bunch of demons. And you worship your father, the devil. Was he implying that the devil created them? Of course not. What is he saying? Whatsoever is not of God, whatsoever is not of faith, that is sin. So the devils you're fighting are the devils of your own doubt and discourse, your own unbelief, because you don't have the decision. Let us, we're about to do something. What is it? Be firm in the word of God. God says he will lead me and he will guide me. He is always with me. So no matter what seems to fall away or fall apart or not come together, God is putting something together far greater than I could imagine. And if I will rejoice and believe and be thankful in this, that decision is made. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, but if I don't believe that, I won't see it happen, even though it does happen, just like they didn't see the kingdom of God, even though Jesus said, I'm standing right here. First step, have to stick to it. Well, things went upside down. It must be the devil. If you're born again, it couldn't possibly be the devil. It couldn't be. It's impossible. He cannot cross the bloodline or he'd get saved. He can't touch you because he doesn't live by faith. He's in a totally different dimension than you are. Well, the devil's talking to me. Yes, your devil, the devil you are, is talking to you. You're talking doubt. You're talking unbelief. The devil has no place with you. Nothing at all. When Jesus came, and he laid down his life, he did something incredible. He revealed something phenomenal. The word says that he took death, hell, and the grave, and he just obliterated it. He destroyed it in your account. You have no part there. And the word says, Paul says, there is therefore now, because of that, no condemnation in me, who is in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and devils and demons and death. It's not a part of me. I am born in Christ and I am now part of the reality. I am a part of the reality. I am part of the reality of God. Not just a part. I am part of the reality of God. And his fullness dwells in me. That's how we need to begin to think. That is taking mamlacha, dominion. I just took dominion over my mind and all I did was agree with God. Your kingdom rules in me. How? In the fullness. Why did God make man? Because God determined this is the only way that the Trinity can be revealed to heaven and earth. The word says, till he brings all things into the unity. And what is it always leaning on? What is the requirement to know, to see, to walk in these things? Unshaken faith. And the faith you have is not just your faith. It is part of God's faith in you. We are created by God, for God, and the word calls it not just faith in Christ, but literally the faith of Christ is dwelling in me. What he did, it took faith for Jesus to go to the cross. He prays in the garden and says, Father, if there's any other way, there's man's will. Jesus had to do what you had to do. Nonetheless, I mean, this would be my preference. If there can be some other way, nonetheless, not, he says it right here, not my will, implying I have a will. But let's not do my will, let's do your will. Let your will be done. And at that moment in time is when Jesus truly surrendered. A decision was made. Let us do, let us make it happen. Jesus said, for this purpose I came into the world. That's how he rebuked Peter. When Peter said, far be it from you, Lord. He said, for this purpose I came into the world. Consistency is the key to success physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, in every aspect of your life. You have to be consistent in what you believe. That's why the word says, don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, every idea, every theology. Don't be tossed. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what is true. If you ask him, he will reveal it to you. You don't need the most brilliant individual in the world. You don't need the most learned person in the world. You don't need the most studied person in, individual in the world. You don't have to go to a specific class, and all those things are fine. But the one that's going to convince you, the one and only, is the one you are a part of and the one that is a part of you. As Jesus said, I and you and me. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come into you. He will make his dwelling with you. He says the same thing about the Father. The Father will come and make you his home, his dwelling place. Now, we can't contain God. There's no place that contains God. So where is heaven? Heaven is God. Every place God is heaven. Because what is God? The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? God, God's mind, his thoughts, just like any realm. It has taken dominion. It is the mind of the king that is the kingdom. You can take a province of land. You can take a piece of land, whether it be England or something, a place unoccupied. England is occupied. But if you took a place unoccupied, it would not be a realm. It would be a plot of dirt. It would be a plot of land. But a realm is something where someone moves in and takes over dominion. Takes over authority and says, these are the rules, these are the principles of the kingdom, of this realm. This is the law. These are the laws of this realm. These are the laws of this kingdom. And this kingdom, I take dominion by saying, this is the law, this is the word, this is the way it's going to be. That's God's word in you. The kingdom of God is in you. You need to find it. He said, seek and you will find. Seek what? What he told us to seek. Seek the kingdom of God. Theology can be dangerous because it can open too many doors to too many ideas, and then you end up without reference. In the dark, you can fall over something that isn't there, because in this realm, we need eyes. We need a reference to where we're going. You ever stumbled over something in the dark that wasn't there because you thought it was there? And nothing was there. But your reference point was gone. God said, I'm giving heaven and earth a reference point. We are creating a reference point. We are going to create man. And we're going to create him in our image and in our likeness. And we're going to give him dominion. So he knows he has a reference point of his purpose. And his purpose is that we dwell in him and he walks in our likeness and with our understanding. And in that, he has dominion over all the earth. When Jesus went to the cross, he did something incredible. And we didn't even know this until God reveals it through John, who is referred to as John the Revelator. Jesus says to John, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. What is that? Well, I am the first and the last. Oh, well, what does that mean? I am the beginning and I am the end. Well, those have specific references. The beginning is one thing, and the end is another. You start something, that's the beginning, and it has its moderation, it has its journey until you come to the end. But Jesus said, I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. Well, there was a beginning of sin, but there was no end to it. And there was a promise of the Father, but there was no revelation of it. All the promises of the Father, the promises to Abraham, the Word says these all died in faith, never having experienced, never having seen it, but they believed and saw it afar off. Jesus says, he said, you will see me. He said, these people, these that disbelieve, they do not see me. But he says something important and powerful. He says, but you see me. Not you're going to see me, but he said, you see me. And he says, not you're going to know me. He says, you know me. You know me. And you see me. On the cross, the tetelestai, Jesus says, it is finished. At that very moment in time, simultaneously, the beginning and the end happened at the same time. Jesus said, sin is finished. And a new beginning has happened all at the same time. The beginning and the end happened all at the same time. He collapsed everything that was against you, everything that could say, even in your own mind, if you will receive, if you can believe. The old has passed, but you have to be committed to this as a decision, and this is the way it is. The old me has passed. The Word says literally, taking off the old self, having put on the new. Jesus was seen and not understood at that very point in time on the cross when he said, it is finished. People were looking at the Alpha and the Omega. The first, the last, the beginning, the end, all time, all space, all matter, all at the same time, and didn't recognize he was right there. And he said, all of this is in you. God made you his reference point for the fullness of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The fullness of God in you. And if you will believe that, if you can wrap your faith around that today, and say, I am blessed. I just prophesied that to someone the other day. It may have seemed a little, but the revelation is, I am blessed, and everybody knows it. Do you understand? Can you see? Can you hear what's being said? We want something just big and profound that just rocks our natural mind, but just something so simple as, I am blessed, and everybody knows it. That's a statement, a prophecy of faith that says what God said in the beginning, and he blessed them, and he said, I've given you every good thing. And then the Word says nothing will be held back from you, and nothing is being held back from you. The only thing God is taking out of your life are those things that are trying to subtract from you. You may see them as one thing, but God knows them as something else. You may see them as a lesser, but God knows there are more. There is absolutely no way you lose in the kingdom of God. Anything that God, it's like, how does wind come? What is wind? It flows into an emptiness. God says, I will take the invisible and the visible, and I will make them one. I will bless all things. He said, till heaven and earth are united. That's going to happen on the inside of believers, on the inside of you. Heaven and earth is coming together in you. What does that mean? It means everything that God prepared from the Genesis of time, every blessing he promised to Abraham, every word of prophecy through every prophet that has ever spoken, the blessedness of God, isn't coming to you. And when you're looking for it to come to you, then you don't realize where it is. So how could you possibly know where it is? Have you ever had sunglasses on your head and you can't find them and you look all over the place for them? You're never going to find them, for you're looking for them because they're on you. They're with you. And you'll never find them no matter how hard you look when you're looking someplace else other than where they are. Where are they? They're on your head. Wake up. Jesus said, their hearts are blind. They don't know they're in, and this is a word for you, writer, they don't know that they're in the Sabbath rest. And in the Sabbath rest, God says, let it rest, because in that rest, God is provoking the earth to bring forth an abundance. And that's what's happening with you. Because the abundance of the seed you may have sown was concealed in the framework of man's decisions and what man thought would be great and what man thought would be expansive. But what God does exceeds your imagination and your ability to even ask or think about what it is that is going to happen. So what God does is he takes everything out of the way that you may or may not realize is a distraction. He orders our spirit, our mind, our attitude, our personality, our heart. So when anything is taking place in your life and you feel like it's going away, say, God, I give it away. I make it an offering to you. That's what David did when he numbered Israel. He said, God, I'm giving it all away. I just need your favor. And I'm not asking for a reduction or a discount or a sale. I'm just saying, God, all belongs to you. And when you really mean that, joy and revelation and excitement begins to well up on the inside of you. Anger, hatred, strife, bitterness, fear just falls off of you, and you didn't do anything to get rid of it. You just did who God created you to be. You just worship God knowing you are the fullness. You made a decision. Let us make man. You made me in what? Your image, the image of the triad, the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When did you do it? Today. Today, right here, right now. And after that, what happens? The rest. And why did you do it? So the fullness of who you are could be revealed in me, because God, you determined it was important to make mankind. The earth is not a mistake. It's an intentional act of the will of God. You, I don't care how you got here. If you are here, you are not a mistake. You are the intentional act of God. If you are living and if you are breathing, whether you are living in sin or living in righteousness, the intentions of God are right and pure and good towards you. But you have to open your eyes to see that God's intention is good towards you and surrender your heart and your mind to God. You lead me in the way that I should go. So whatever you want, take it. And whatever you want to do through me, that your glory will be seen. The word says Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not just your hope that you get to see glory, but literally heaven's hope of seeing the glory of God, the fullness of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that cannot be seen with any eye, is going to be revealed through a vessel of faith that cannot see it, but believes through the faith of the Son of God, who laid his life down because he loves you so much. You know what God loves about you? You are a part of God's reality. And God is bringing together those two dimensions, heaven and earth, so the believers and non-believers stop seeing them separated and seeing them divided, and we see them united as one. I in you, Jesus said, and you in me, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. Neither can you do anything except you remain and abide in me. The decision is made. Tetelestai, it is finished. Why? So we can take mamlacha, we can take dominion. What does that mean? Receive the kingdom. Not look for it, not wait for it, but walk in it. When I speak, I bless people. This is you. When I declare anything, I declare the truth. When I show affection, it's passion, it's love, it's kindness, it's gentleness, it's meekness. I'm not trying to prompt myself or push myself somewhere. I don't find it difficult. The word says it is not difficult. It should not be weighty to obey the word of the Lord. The word says it will not be burdensome to you. When those things are happening, you're not thinking of the Trinity, the triad, the fullness of God. You are part of the reality of God. You are part of the reality, not a part. You are part of the reality of God. He spoke you, called you out by name. He gave you life. He gave you purpose. He is with you. He has saved you. He has set you free. And if you don't know that reality right here, right now, say, Jesus, without my natural mind being able to understand, I receive by faith. I just believe into your word. I am born of the Spirit. Be Lord of my life. You are Lord of my life. Be my Savior and Redeemer. You are my Savior and Redeemer. Fill me with your Spirit and power. You filled me with your Spirit and power. For it is written, the just, how do they get that way? They live by faith. And this is the greatest season of your lives. Be able to give the Lord praise this morning. This rope is very significant to me, not that it is a rope or anything unique in itself, but it is a representation of how I think. How close is the kingdom of God, the power to pull heaven down or pull heaven from the side or pull heaven up or wherever it is? Jesus said, listen, no one can pull me. We pull, but no one can bring me or make me do something I don't want or that I haven't already done. But this is a representation of how close it is. And what are we doing? Let me say it like this. God made the earth when heaven already existed. The realm, the kingdom of God. And he did it for a purpose, to reveal the Trinity of who he is, because it has to be in vessels that are sanctified through Jesus Christ, filled with his Spirit, filled with his Word, by the will of God. Jesus is called the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and the Father is the will. And they dwell on the inside of you. And this rope represents that it's this close. It's in our grasp. The literal translation in Greek is the kingdom of God is at hand. Literally means the kingdom of God is in your grasp. It's right here. But you have to see it that way, or you're looking for your sunglasses when they're on your head. And you'll never find the kingdom that way. Jesus said the kingdom of God can't come with observation. It wouldn't matter if it dropped out of the sky. You still wouldn't know it unless you're seeing it by the revelation of the Holy Spirit that works through you, through Christ Jesus, by the will of the Father. Jesus said, I do the will of the Father. This is Son of God. What is he talking about? The Trinity. I'm the Son of God, but I'm doing what the Father says. But we are one. And I must leave so the Holy Spirit can come. What is he talking about? He's the Son of God. He's saying, I want, the Father wants, the Spirit wants to be revealed. Let us make them in our image and let us be revealed through them. There's a day coming out of you like you wouldn't imagine, exceeding your imagination. There's not a day coming out of the sky. There's not a day coming out of the sea. There's not a day coming out of the earth. Well, kind of. There's a day coming out of you. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he spoke about. And in this, we will see the glory of the second return of Christ in his fullness in you, just like he said in the Word. And all things will become new, revelation, insight, understanding, and we will be like him when we see him for who he is. And what did Jesus say? He said, you see me. But he said, a two-souled individual is unstable in all their ways. Let not that person think they will receive anything of God. Here's double-mindedness. The Lord's blessing me, and the devil is trying to stop me. Double-mindedness. That is not accurate. Couldn't possibly be. It wouldn't matter what the devil wanted to do. The word says, the wicked one touches them not. No evil will come nigh your dwelling. He destroyed he that had the power of death, hell, and the grave. That is the devil. He put away sin. He made a display of it openly on the cross when he said, it is finished. And he destroyed all principalities and powers. How did he do it? By renewing your mind so you know whom to believe in. So we have to take the vocabulary and the idea that the devil is trying to do anything in your life because it is not true. It couldn't possibly be because you've been delivered from that, or you need to get born again. Okay? And when we walk in the same attitude of fear and anger and you carry the burden of stress because things are changing in your life, well, we're losing everything. You're not losing anything. God is making space, just like what causes the wind to blow. He said the Spirit comes and you don't know where he's come from, you don't know where he's going, but he comes into those that are empty for him. And the Spirit of God is blowing into you today. We have to know that our steps are ordered of the Lord. This is something that's changed my life forever. My steps are ordered of the Lord. What God says, he will bring to pass no matter what. And the will of the Lord will be done in my life. I'm not going to fight. There therefore remains a rest unto the people of God. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. If you come to me, Jesus said, I'll give you something. I'll give you rest from all your toil. If you'll just rely on the kingdom of God is within me, and I'm going to look for that righteousness, that joy, that peace coming out of me and not any place else, and then it will come just as God has determined it. You don't have to know when, where, why, and how. When they said to Jesus, show us your second return, he said, it's not for you to know. That's not important. Just be busy about the Father's business. Seek the kingdom of God. It'll overtake you. You'll find out where it is, and it's going to pour out of you because we are filled with the Word and the Spirit and the life of God in Christ. That's who you are. And this is the greatest season. God will bring his Word to pass. Speak his Word. And those that believe the Word, they will see it come to pass. I'm thankful for the election. I'm boldly, proudly, thankfully going to say, I'm thankful for the election. I'm thankful for what just took place because I gave a prophetic word right here that this time would happen. God brought it to pass in the most unusual way. And I'm not talking about your preference. I'm talking about what the Word says. When God raises it up, it is God that raises them up. Sometimes we end up with an evil leader. You saying God brings up evil? No, I'm saying God has given you dominion in the earth. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm talking about the word of the Lord, not politics. I'm talking about principalities, powers, the rule of God. I had a dream Saturday the night prior to Sunday. And God showed me two women. One was a prostitute, a woman of ill repute, and the other was, let's just call her mother. And I'm trying to convince the woman of ill repute to repent, and she will have none of it. And the mother keeps interrupting me, keeps speaking, just aloud, arrogant. There's this arrogant look on her face. And in the dream, I said, shut up. Stop talking and listen to me. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to her. And then after I said that, I stepped back because she was the voice of the illegitimate woman or the prostitute, the woman of ill repute. And when I spoke to her and told her to shut up, I then realized this is not going to be the order. This thing is not going to happen that's trying to take place. I stepped back, I pointed my finger, and I said, you are not the will of God. And when I did, and I shared this last Sunday, when I did, the woman, which represented a machine, something far beyond what you were looking at, the face of the thing. And the mother screamed out in absolute horror that I had rebuked and denied her. And then they both screamed and like a spirit coming out of somebody, just this horrific scream, and then they just, boom, they disappeared, was gone, and I woke up. And I said, God, what in the world was that? And God said, the mother of Babylon the mother of the prostitute. And I knew this is the end of a time. God is raising up a new time. And I'm saying it, not trying to be anything other than prophetically inclined and responsible to what God said to me, God showed me, that I could not know without the will of the Father, without the Spirit of God. But you have to stay on the course. I never once repented about saying what I said, even though it didn't look like it was going to happen. I never once repented. I didn't recant. I remained steadfast on this is what God said, and this is what was going to come to pass. And God brought it to pass. And I give God praise for it. And I have to be real honest. I hope we're in unity in this, but your position doesn't matter to me. My position in Christ is all that matters. What God said to me is the position He wanted me to take, and I proudly, gladly took it, and I stand here today testifying that God did it, and it was incredible. It was a wonder. It was unexpected by a lot of the world, but God did it, and He swept it. And our nation is now, I'm going to say, covered in the blood of Jesus. It is swept red. Our nation is swept red in the blood of Jesus Christ. And to God be the glory, God be the honor, God be the praise. Over the next 3 years, there will be a purging in our nation. And God is going to, in some areas, it's going to be very chaotic, but God is going to sweep over the next 3 years, and He is going to purge our nation, and it is going to affect all the nations around us to whom the Lord has purposed that some change, important, necessary change takes place. And we are stepping into another portion of the realm of the kingdom of God. And it is because the Lord willed it and some folks believed it. So stand firm in the word of the Lord. When God purges, a lot of times when I say that, people get afraid. I've had some people, because I've been saying this over the past few months, over the next 3 years, don't fear. God has not appointed His people to wrath. But some incredible things are going to take place, things you didn't expect, things you didn't see coming. But God is going to be glorified in it all. And we have to take our stand of having dominion, mamlacha, in the earth, dominion, kingdom, and watch God be glorified. God's going to raise up voices all over in government. You're going to hear them praising, singing, saying the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Out of the world of Hollywood and places that have seemed to be oftentimes, not always, but many times diminished in declaring the name of Jesus for fear of maybe losing a position or a job or money or fame, God's going to reach into that industry. And out of that industry, God is going to bring pictures, visuals, visions of the kingdom of God that is going to impact the world, lighten the world. You will see what it means to be a light to the world. And this is going to be one of those realms of light that God is going to reveal in the coming years. God's kingdom rules. And all that's necessary is that some of us stand up and say, we are part of the reality of God, because He is the creator of all things. And He created all things for His purpose and His pleasure. They were and they are created. If God wanted you in heaven, if that was the point, God would have made us, created us all in heaven. He created us here for a very important reason. He doesn't want to bring heaven to us. He wants to bring heaven out of us. And then heaven will make itself manifest to us. Jesus said, I've showed up to you. I stood here before you. I spoke to you. You rejected me. You didn't see me. You didn't believe me. God was present with you. He said, I'm praying the Father to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to indwell you. He's going to fill you. And you're going to bear witness to me. You're going to be my witness. And my Father and I and the Holy Spirit are going to come and make our abode with you. We are going to come and dwell in you. And you will be our people and we will be your God. And this is that day. And God is glorified in all, through all. And to God be glory, honor, and praise. You know what today is? Today is the greatest season of your lives. Give the Lord praise in the house. Father, we thank you for your word. The kingdom of God is within our grasp. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we thank you and we know. I want you to just, if you have your wristband on, you can tug on that. Mine's caught up here somewhere in my sleeve. And if you don't have one of these, you should get one. Come into unity with the body. When you come here on Sunday, throw one of these on. Just a wristband that says pulling on heaven. When? All time, now. Who is God? Almighty. Where is he? Here? When? Now. Why? He's God. He's everything. He's the fullness. If you have one, tug on it. If you don't, just tug on your clothing. Maybe grab one on the way out. I think we have a lot of these in all kinds of different colors, so you can be happy with the color you've chosen. Come Sunday, just put it on. We're going to come together. We're going to bind together in a unity in this body. And if God has to sweep some away to do it, then God's will be done. Or if God needs to bring more in, then that be done as well. But we're going to be in unity because all we need is me and the Father. But the word says, if any two or three agree concerning any one thing, that thing will be done. We are not here to try and bring a gathering of bodies together. We are here to see the unity of the will of the Father manifest through the body of Christ. We are here to see God glorified in all, through all, and to God be all the glory, honor, and praise. So you tug here. I'm going to tug right here. And Father, we just declare, as the word says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let the glory of your presence be manifest in and through your people. Let the wonder of your Spirit and of your power be manifest in your people. Let the day of fullness, the day, the Sabbath, the day of rest in you, God, so the fullness of who you are is manifest through us and not of works, at least any man should boast, but the gift of God be glorified and manifest. We hold the kingdom and are held by the kingdom. We hold the kingdom and are held within the kingdom. The kingdom, your mind, your reign, your rule, your authority is in us and will be manifest through us, and you will be glorified. We'll turn on our televisions and we'll hear the name of Jesus. And it won't just be on a church network. It will be across the board. The news will talk about your name. Places where you have not been heard in their format, God will shake and rip that format apart, and God will write a new script. Jesus told John, write down what you're hearing, because it is true and it is right. It is yes and it is amen. So prophetically, we write down here and now that God will be glorified. And over the next 3 years, there will be a transition that will lead us into the future that God has called us to see the body of Christ, the manifestation. The word says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the authority and the power, which is the body of Christ, which you are. And God, we just declare this to be the case today, your fullness dwelling in your people. And in that, blessings, resources, provisions, we're in the garden. Every good thing is here. Doors of honor, doors of favor, doors of renown, doors of glory, doors of praise, doors of peace, doors of power, revenue, resources, healing, health. We're going to run out of the places of infirmaries. Healed, restored, renewed by the power, the Spirit, the glory, the presence of God. Health coming out of the kingdom that you are. that God has made you to be His kingdom. In one day's time, God will turn it around for you. So you can say, this is the day, the entire day that God has made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. God, be glorified in your kingdom. Your kingdom dwells within us. Be glorified, Lord. Be pleased. We are your favor. We are your chosen. We are the redeemed by your blood. We are kings and priests unto you in the earth. God, so be glorified, reign and rule. To your glory, we give you praise. And everyone shouted, amen.